Well, thanks, Bob. Yeah, to get dive right into your question there, we're really not changing our acreage mix a whole lot. We're pretty much that 48% corn bean mix, and as you mentioned, we got a few winter wheat acres. That's about 4% of our total acreage here. A lot of those plans were dialed in, you know, like I said, last fall when we visited. A lot of that fertilizer was somewhat bought, pre-bought, so the plans are pretty much the laid, and the groundwork's already laid in place to proceed forward with those plans going into the 2022 growing season here. Did run some costs and some numbers to see if we maybe need to swing a few acres one way or the other, and honestly, at the end of the day, the profitability in each crop didn't really change a whole lot, even with the expenses. I mean, fertilizer goes up, it affects both corn and soybeans, so didn't really change anything.
Well, what are your total acres? What's the breakdown going to be?
Well, total acres, we're running over about 4,500 acres here on the Iowa side of the river. Right around 2,000 acres, about 2,200 acres of soybeans, about 2,200 acres of corn, and 170 acres of winter wheat.
All right. Well, what are we looking at as far as per acre cost of production change or increase from last year to this year?
I mean, realistically, Bob, what we're seeing here on an increase, yeah, it's definitely up from where it was a year ago. I mean, this year, my cost of production on corn dialed in right now is $4.91 a bushel. Last year, I would say we were probably in that $3.80, $3.90 a bushel range. My cost on soybeans this year, according to the handy-dandy spreadsheet, tell me about $11.60 a bushel. And again, I think that was probably, you know, $10.50 last year. So we're up a solid dollar a bushel on cost of production from last year.
And what's sort of ironic is the prices that it's costing you this year, you would have happily sold last year's crop for those numbers, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of the old crop story. Old crop, what's left in the bin, that's a slam dunk this year. I mean, we got money in the bank there. And the new crop side, even the 22 crop, you normally, you know, corn above $5, home run, you know, sell it, sell your firstborn child along with it. And this year, you know, $5 corn, I will say, is feels a lot like what $4 corn felt like a year ago from just a profitability standpoint. It's going to take $5 a bushel to break even this year. And I'll be the first to admit, I've got some sales on that are sub $5, you know, sold, you know, 18 months, 24 months ago. Don't look real rosy right now. It's the average number at the end of the day. We'll still be fine. I've been telling a few folks this, that anybody that had a long-range marketing plan with, you know, COVID pandemic 2 years ago and, you know, a war going on across the pond here right now, anybody with a long-range marketing plan pretty well got the rear end handed to them from, it just, you know, the Johnny-come-latelys this year are the ones that are definitely singing all the way to the bank.
How much of your particular crops do you have sold already for this year then?
This year we've got right around on the 22 crop that we're going to be planting here going forward, I've got probably about 40 to 50% hedged off in both corn, or all three commodities, corn, soybeans, and wheat. Not actually hard sold. We've got some option fences around. I've got some min-max type stuff, got some floor pricing set, got some upside targets that have we're set, and quite honestly, some of those upside targets, we've already blew through them, so I'm capped out on some of those bushels. I've got to give y'all some $5 and $5.50 ceilings on some bushels, which a couple years ago, you wouldn't have thought we'd have been anywhere close to, you know, having to think about going past the $5 or $5.50 mark in corn. Well, here we are. We're, I think, you know, December board today is $6.30, $6.40, somewhere in there. So we're well past that, but it's still a profitable number. And that's, you know, in the grand scheme of things, if you can, you know, eke out a 10 to 15% margin year in, year out, you're doing well. And that we're still going to be there. It's just, you know, there's some money was left on the table due to what's been going on in the world here as of late.
Now, your average yield for corn and soybeans for 2021, what did you see?
21 is good crop for it being, me say, I think I mentioned last fall, if we could do it all over again, have a late cold, or an early cold spring, a late frost, and a dry summer, we'll take it all over again. The end result was good. Our corn average yields right around that 215, 220 range across every acre. Some farms were new records. Some were right there at old historical bests. By and large, that average number we had was probably within five bushel of a farm record. Didn't break it, but real respectable considering the year we had. Our soybean crop, upper 60s, you know, 66, 67 bushel farm average. again, right there with the historical farm record, didn't shatter anything, but right there. I mean, we turned out very well, and then couple that with pricing that was, you know, a dollar better or a couple bucks better on corn and $2-3 better on soybeans than we had planned going into 2021. 2021 really turned out to be a banner year. We have both yield and price, and usually you get one or the other, but not both.
Now, as far as the reason for the increased cost per bushel for your corn and soybean crops this year, obviously fertilizer probably tops the list. Did you get a lot pre-bought and compare prices? Well, what are we hearing for prices? What are you hearing for prices now for fertilizer?
The dry fertilizer side, we did pretty well. We bought a lot of that for the 22 crop, actually about a year ago, about now April-ish of 21. We bought potash in the mid-300s and bought some phosphates in that $600, $700 range, which that looks like a home run now. Hindsight's always 20/20, obviously. So we did well there. What we didn't do so well on, and I'll be the first to admit, in our operation is the nitrogen side. We're typically spring nitrogen folks here, don't use a lot of fall anhydrous. Fall anhydrous could have been bought for, you know, probably $700, $750 if you would have bought that in July, August of 21. Fast forward to now, and hydrous is knocking on the door of $1,500 a ton. The dry fertilizer market, similar story. It was $400, you know, close to $400 potash a year ago is now $800-$900 a ton potash. So we've seen some, you know, 200% increases in the fertilizer and the fertility side of things, and that's the biggest line item increase in our cost year over year. Land charge, you know, land rents went up a little bit, which was to be expected. I think our average land cost might have went up $25 an acre, which that's tolerable. I can handle that. Seed was probably late to the party. Seed costs really didn't change on a percentage basis a whole lot from 21 to 22. Diesel fuel will be higher. I mean, that's a given. Fuel is going to be higher priced this year than it was a year ago. Even if a fella pre-booked fuel, you're still going to see a fuel increase, but we probably use 2 or 3 gallons an acre, so even a dollar a gallon higher, it's an expense that you don't like, but it's not a vast percentage of your total crop budget when you're putting a corn crop in. So yeah, that was the kind of the highlights of what, you know, where the price increase or the cost increases came from 21 to get to 22 here.
Eric, you talked about the increase in expenses for items such as fertilizer and seed and so on and so forth. You know, one thing we've learned, I guess, during the pandemic, a new phrase was supply chain issues. What about items and products you need that are you going to get them?
That is another million-dollar question right now. Definitely, you know, having physical stuff on hand is the place where you want to be right now. We've got all of our other crop inputs booked for the 2022 year. We've got physical supply of most all our chemistry is here. Nitrogen, we don't have all that. We do not have storage for anhydrous ammonia on farm, so that we're at the mercy of, you know, getting, which like, anhydrous is made domestically here in the U.S., so I don't have a whole lot of worry about not getting anhydrous ammonia for spring. Dry fertilizer, I just talked to the grain terminals, or CGB down here at Clayton. Our trucking business offloads all their barges of fertilizer that they bring up river and store. They told me to expect some of those to show up here later next week. They've got 8 or 10 barges of product showing up, but basically now, as soon as they get the barges are in Dubuque right now, waiting for lock issues or something. But they're en route here. So I'm confident we're probably going to be able to get supply. It's just in time, hand to mouth. There's no excessive pile sitting anywhere around that I'm aware of on the fertilizer side of things.
What about farm machinery?
That is another unique situation, similar. I mean, a lot of your listeners are familiar that the whole, you know, automobile prices have risen, used vehicles have gone up, and farm equipment's no different. There, it seems like every day you hear of an auction, there's a new record here, record there from, you know, this used tractor brought this, or that brought that, or oh my God, that brought more than it sold for 10 years ago, and it's got 6,000 hours on now. We're definitely seeing inflation there on the equipment side of things. And parts availability to keep the used stuff running, so far, so good. We haven't ran into a whole lot of things we can't get. You may have to wait an extra day or two, or, yeah, we don't have it at this dealership, but if you want to run to Central Iowa or run to Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, they've got it somewhere if you want to make a road trip. But I guess the rule of thumb here, don't wait till the first week of April to drag the corn planter out of the shed and expect you're going to have they're going to have everything you need to overhaul a corn planter and go through it front to back, top to bottom before you need it in 2 weeks.
Did you plan on making any machinery changes at the end of harvest, and has that not happened?
We really didn't have a whole lot of plans. Nothing we really needed to change at the end of last year's harvest. We did end up trading sprayers here right around the first of the year, somewhat of a tax-type reason, and the new one we went to is a Deere machine. It's got the Exact Apply feature on it, which basically is each individual nozzle shuts off on its own on 15-inch spacing. We demoed one of these machines a year ago, put it in an 80-acre field with a lot of terraces, a lot of waterways, and with all the overlap, and you know, not having to trim around every waterway or make one sprayer swipe up and down every waterway to outline them, it saved 8 to 9% chemical cost. And the time probably took about a third less time because we didn't have to make a special trip around every waterway. So that the demo of that machine really is what probably prompted us to make the leap and jump into a different sprayer. Nothing wrong with our old one, just keeping current with technology and you being able to, and chemical costs are going up. So if we can save 10-12% on chemical every year, that's a big number at the end of the year. That makes about half the payment on a new sprayer. So we did do that. We traded a tillage tool here about 2 weeks ago. Once again, they gave me more for my used one than I paid for it new 3 years ago for, and we put 7,000 or 8,000 acres through it. But the new one we traded for went up equally as much. But like overall, the cost per acre to own the machine was where I wanted it to be. It made sense to trade that off and jump into something new there. Other than that, just a few knick-knack things, nothing major as far as trade's concerned. You know, some oddball stuff, a couple of poly tanks, fuel trailer. But no, that the sprayer and that tillage tool are probably the main items before spring here, none of which needed to be done. We've still got our old ones here, or the tillage tool, still old one's still in the shed. They tell me the new one should be here middle April, and the old one's not leaving until the new one shows up. I'll be honest with you there.
All right, a couple of final things. Your subsoil moisture, what's the situation for you?
I would say going through last fall, we got pretty good coverage as far as moisture was concerned. I think actually this spring we're probably sitting a little better than we were spring of 21. Fall of 20, we were really, really dry. And we did catch some pretty good rains last fall. Again, we're not amply fully recharged by no means, but you know, going into spring here, you get a couple 2-3 inch rain spaced out over a day or two, that can go a long way to, you know, perk up soil moisture. I'd rather have a dry spring. Never hurts anybody. Every acre gets planted, no wet spots to go around. Dry springs and a dry June's good. July and August are where we really need to get on your knees and pray for rain.
All right, and then one final question, I guess. You know, we talked about what your increased costs were and everything per bushel. What are you anticipating your increased costs are going to be overall just to plant this crop compared to a year ago for corn and beans?
Honestly, I mean, just figure it take, you know, just say $150 an acre higher on corn, just for quick math. That's $300,000 higher. Take $100 an acre higher on the soybean side, you're another. It's probably going to take an extra $400,000 to $500,000 working capital this year, and that number may seem astounding, and it is. But realistically, that's probably what it's going to take to get that crop put in. The good thing we've got going right now, interest costs, or even the Fed's been raising rates slowly here, but by and large, over the grand scheme of things, interest costs are still dirt cheap. I mean, operating money on a loan right now, most everybody's sub 4% for the most part. You know, some under 3. So really, the cost to borrow money right now is not racking up too fast, which that's helping. That makes it a little easier to swallow having to lay out a bigger number out front. You're not borrowing at all. Your borrowing costs are cheap. And I'll also mention, too, you know, the crop insurance side of things this year, we've got record-level crop insurance prices, which, yeah, we got a lot invested in this crop. We're going to have a lot invested. But you can buy revenue insurance to protect a lot of that. This is one of the first, you know, one of the few years where you can insure yourself to basically not go backwards, which doesn't happen a lot of times. So that's a blessing we in the American farmer has. We've got that backstop to backfill us in the event of drought, disaster, yada, yada, yada.
All right, Eric Oberbrockling, again, farms with family in the Garnavillo, Iowa area. He's also a graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Platteville, the School of Agriculture. Eric, thank you so much for your time this morning.
You betcha, Bob. Thank you. Call anytime, and hope everybody has a wonderful day.